our call to worship today, we are in Psalm 25, and I come to this passage of Scripture, verse 17, which seems to apply to some of the things that have happened this morning. Verse 17 says, "The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins." You know, there are times when it seems that troubles and afflictions are enlarged. They've grown to a size that's just hard to understand and to deal with. But isn't it wonderful to know that the psalmist here turns immediately to whom? God. He doesn't turn to his friends. He doesn't turn to family. He turns to his God. Now, I'm thankful that we have family and friends. And we certainly make them aware of our concerns and our needs, that they be praying with us. And I don't mean to downplay that at all, but we need to know something. We need to turn to our God. For He alone is the one who can handle our afflictions, as it says here in verse 18. Afflictions and pain and distresses that trouble the heart. And it's wonderful to know that we have a God, first of all, who answers prayer, but a God who is powerful enough to deal with any situation. God's never taken by surprise. God is never shocked. God knows all things. And we pray for His strength and courage this morning. There are those in our church family that are bearing afflictions and difficulties. Physical things, maybe spiritual battles that they're fighting through at this point. And we need to uphold each other before the Lord, knowing that even though our troubles and afflictions and pains are amplified or enlarged, as it says in this passage of Scripture, we have a God that can comfort and strengthen and encourage. Blessed be the name of our Lord.
Amen. Let's take our hymn books this morning and turn to number 212 as we begin our singing. Number 212, "Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us." Number 212, let's stand together to sing. Say for prayers. The pastor comes to lead us in prayer this morning.
Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank You for this opportunity once again to come into Your presence, to offer to Thee our worship, our praise, our adoration, because You alone are worthy to receive that praise. You rule in majesty and power, wisdom and honor. And we thank you this morning that you loved us in spite of our sin and sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us from our sin, to deliver us from the bondage of the chains of sin. Lord, we thank you for that today. And we pray that if there be one here today without the Savior, that they would call upon His name before it's too late. No one is guaranteed a tomorrow. No one is guaranteed of this afternoon. I pray that you would work in hearts today, Lord, to draw precious souls unto yourself. And we thank you and praise you for all that you've done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray for our country. We're almost living in a catatonic state where we're just doing our own thing without any understanding of the fact that we're going to have to give an account someday. We act in such ways as if there is no God, that there's no eternity, there's just the moment. Lord, I pray that you would bring to this country an awakening, a turning to Thee, a realization that you are the Creator of all things, and you are the Savior of sinners, and we're going to have to stand before Thee someday. We can either bow the knee now, or we can bow the knee then when it's too late, only to be cast into a devil's hell. Lord, I pray for this country. I pray that you'd raise up some preachers across this land who would fearlessly preach your word and communicate the truth, that the work of the Holy Spirit would be done in hearts and lives. Lord, I pray for the United States. I ask also, dear Father, that you would be with those who rule over us. We pray for those who know the Lord as their Savior, that they'll not compromise or trim their way to seek favor, but Father, that they would stand upon the principles of your word and be a witness and testimony. But Lord, we pray for the salvation of many who are there representing us on a federal level that don't know Thee as our personal Savior. Some come from all kinds of religious backgrounds, but they don't know Thee. Father, I pray for them this morning that You would bring them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We pray also, Father, that You would undertake for those who serve in our military all around the world, who are keeping watch, many of them in very dangerous places. We pray for them today, Lord, that You'd watch over and protect them. And we pray, Father, for those within the military that are Christians, Lord. We know that they are trying to be silenced by their own government. But I pray that You'd help them to be a witness and testimony, to share the gospel with those that they serve with, so that they might know Jesus Christ as well. Lord, we pray for our country. We pray for our military personnel. We pray for those today who rule over us, that they would turn to Thee. Father, we thank You for the privileges and the opportunities that You've given right here in Milton for us to serve Thee. We thank You, Father, for the opportunity to have a Christian school to minister to boys and girls in our community. For the Youth Athletic Club, whereby we have hundreds of boys and girls on our campus each day playing soccer. I pray, Father, that You'd give us those opportunities to be a witness and testimony for Thee, to share with them the gospel of the grace of God. We thank You, Father, for the Children's Bible Club ministry and the radio messages that go out weekly, some even going out today. I pray, Father, that You would use this ministry. We thank You for the progress that's being made on having 5 years of radio broadcast. We pray, Father, that You would defeat the devil. Boy, he would love to stop this ministry. And I pray that You would put a hedge about us. And I pray that You would use this radio ministry to reach lost souls. We thank You, Father, for the Learning Center, for the opportunities to minister to those boys and girls each day. We pray for those ladies, Lord, to have such a difficult task. And we ask, Father, that You'd strengthen and encourage them. We thank You for their daily faithfulness. And we pray, Father, that You would be with them. We pray, Father, that You would bless every part of this work. And I pray that we might be unified in the purpose that You've called us to. And that's to be a lighthouse here in this place. We pray, Father, that You would bless this service today. Receive our praise. And I pray, Father, that we would determine by Thy grace and strength to be alert today, to pay attention to Your Word, not to let our minds wander off and to drift into sleep or to allow ourselves to be thinking about what we're going to do this afternoon. But Lord, help us to focus upon Thee, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated now and turn to number 488. Number 488, Take My Life and Let It Be.
Patient and so kind, he's a wonderful Savior to me.
turn now to number 515. Number 515, a hymn that honors our Creator, Lord, but the one who also is leading the church of His love, as it says in verse number 2. Let's sing just the verse number 1 and verse 2, number 515.
Did you take to heart that last phrase that you just sang? The God of all creation, the shepherd of the stars, is tenderly leading the church of His love by hands with crimson scars. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 21 and reading the first 17 verses this morning. I think it's important for us to keep that thought in our minds because today we come to the turning point in His ministry that will lead to His having His hands pierced and bleeding, shedding His blood for the ransom of wicked sinners. I want to read the first 17 verses of Matthew chapter 21, and then we're going to take a few moments to emphasize kind of an outline that I've given to you. I want you to keep that in your Bible, if you don't mind. We'll be using that over today, and then, Lord willing, 2 weeks from today. Next week, we have the Wingrove family with us. Mel and Jan Wingrove, they are going to all their churches, visiting them. They are leaving their work with EMU and are just going to thank the churches that have supported them through the years. And we look forward to having them come. He'll be teaching the adult Sunday school class Sunday morning and then preaching both in the morning and evening services. We always enjoy having the Wingroves with us, and we look forward to their ministry next Sunday. Let's read the first 17 verses of Matthew chapter 21. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they sent him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers, and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. Notice the response of the religious group. They're not happy. And he said unto them, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus saith unto them, Yea, have ye never read, Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Father in heaven, We thank you for this passage of Scripture that is the precursor of the cross work of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Father, we're so thankful that He loved us, that He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, that we might have deliverance from sin, that we might have a home in heaven, that we might know what it means to be transformed by Thy gospel. Lord, this work of Jesus Christ is what every sinner needs. And I pray that You would work in hearts and lives. Maybe there's one here today without the Savior. Maybe they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that today would be the day that they would turn from their sin and would turn unto Thee, to Your Son, Jesus Christ. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In your bulletin, there was a handout that has an outline from this passage. I want to give you the first point there for verses 1 through 3, and that is the point. And I chose that because the Lord Jesus Christ deliberately, the Bible says, set His face as it were a flint to go to Jerusalem. And here in this passage of Scripture, we find, and when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, under the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples. The Lord Jesus has come to the threshold of the city in which He is going to die, be buried, and rise again the third day. Why? For our sin. He's going to accomplish the purpose of the Father, the reason why He was sent to this earth, the reason why He left all the glories and splendor of heaven to come and take upon Himself human flesh. He had been spirit for all eternity past, but He took upon Him flesh that He might be like us, that He might go to that cross and shed His blood, that He might make an atonement, a satisfaction unto the Father for our sin. That's what our sin cost. The Lord of glory, to leave that glory, and to set aside the prerogatives of His deity and to take on human flesh and die in our place. You see, His sacrifice was vicarious. It was for another. It was for another. It was for you and for me. You know, I don't understand people that never take the cross work of Jesus Christ personally. They don't understand what Jesus Christ did for them. To bear your hell, to bear in His body the punishment of your sin. Aunt Carolyn and Dr. Hobbs used to tell the story of the boy who went to school, and I think it's in one of your visualized stories about the boy, or maybe it's the Living Story series that has it, but the young boy that went to school and he stole a lunch, and the teacher said, "We've had a lunch stolen, and so we got to find out who did it." Finally, after, I'm shortening the story, I could have you all crying here in a few moments because I always cry every time I tell that story. But anyway, I'm shortening it up a little bit. And they found out it was this young boy. Well, he was brought in front of the classroom, and this was set in a period of time, long time ago. And he said, "Well, you're going to have to take your punishment. You got to take your licking, take off your jacket." And he didn't want to do it. And the teacher said, "Take off your jacket. You got to take your punishment." Finally took off his jacket. He didn't have any clothes on underneath. That's all he had. And the lunch that he had stolen, I guess, was the biggest boy in the class. And he jumped up out of his seat and ran up to the front and said, "Teacher, I'll take his licking." And he took off his coat and he bared his back and he took the licking for that boy that had no clothes to wear, didn't have any food. That was wrong for him to steal. That's sin. Wrong. And sin has to be punished. But in that story, that boy took the licking for that younger boy so that he wouldn't have to take it. He took the consequences. Something had been stolen. A consequence had to be given. This is what society is erasing from the minds of our children in our public schools, in our universities. First of all, there's no sin. Therefore, there's no consequence. It's all a lie, folks. It's all a lie. Boys and girls here in our church today, sin has a consequence. And apart from Jesus Christ, your sin will damn your soul to an eternal place called hell, the lake of fire, where the Bible says the worm dieth not. It's an eternal conscious punishment for rejecting Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to the threshold of this city. He had set His face as a flint to go in for the purpose of dying. For the purpose of dying. This is His final ministry. Now, He will have a ministry after His resurrection. It will last for 40 days and then He will ascend back into heaven. But now we're at that point where the Lord Jesus Christ takes up that work that the Father had given to Him from eternity past. Before the foundations of this world was laid, God determined how He was going to take care of our sin. And we're at that threshold. This is where all history comes together. Very, very important to see this. He comes to the Mount of Olives, and He sends in, verse 2, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her, loose them, and bring them unto me. Now, understand, this is a fulfillment of prophecy from the Old Testament. If you have a Bible that has the words of Jesus in red, you'll notice in this chapter that He quotes several passages of Scripture as He stands on the threshold. He quotes Scripture. Why? He's there to fulfill Scripture. He's there to accomplish a work. And even in the details of what He would ride upon into the city are laid out, and they were prophesied in the Old Testament. And every detail comes to fruition here. Jesus is taking point. That's a military idea or concept. The phalanx, the point of going ahead, the armies of the past used to always have a point where they would charge ahead into the enemy to break apart, to divide and conquer. You have to have a point to do that. Someone was always chosen to take the lead. The story is told of Pickett's charge at Gettysburg. Whenever the charge was supposed to be given, they said, give the rebel cry. And they said, but there was one young man that had a flag. And they said that he went up to the front and he said, I want to be the first one. He was the first one killed. But I want to be the first one. He was one of the youngest in the entire group. I think he was 13 at the time. The flag bearer. And he grabbed that flag and he took off running and the rest of them started following. They were destroyed. It was a terrible, terrible day for Pickett's group. They were destroyed, shot down, cut down by those men that were on a little round top there at Gettysburg, shooting down on them. They had no chance. Some historians have criticized that charge, but God was at work that day. He was going to bring to a conclusion the Civil War, and Gettysburg was going to be one of the things that He was going to use to bring that long war to a conclusion. But that boy grabbed that flag. He knew what was going to happen. He was going to die. But he grabbed up his flag and he ran to the front and he took off running. He was shot. The flag went down. Somebody else picked it up and they continued the charge with the flag. Now, folks, the Lord Jesus Christ took up the point for you and for me. He took up the point not because He was commanded to, though He was obedient to what the Father had, but because He loved you. The Lord Jesus Christ set His face as a flint. He took the point because He loved you and me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That gift would have been useless if He had never gone to the cross. But He came to the threshold and He unfolded the Scriptures from the Old Testament as He went throughout this day. He took the point. Oh, it's so important for us to see this. It's a beautiful picture of our Lord's love for us. Jesus had left Bethany where he had healed Lazarus, but had evidently returned. And according to Edersheim, it was a bright day in early spring. He had done some studies of the accounts that were written about this particular day in which Jesus came to Jerusalem. Matthew 21 and verse 2 tells us that the Lord sent a couple of disciples into the village nearby, just off the high road, presumably Bethphage, to gain possession of a colt. A colt that had never been ridden on before. Now, if you want to take down somebody, just say, "Hey, ride this horse." Okay? There's an old movie that I watched not too long ago with Gregory Peck. It's called The Big Country. And they had a wild horse out in the thing, and they tried to get him to ride it, and he wouldn't do it. But unbeknownst to them, he was going out, and he asked permission from one of the men, said, "Can I try to ride that horse?" And he was kicked off, bucked off. He did it on his own terms. He didn't do it in front of everybody else. He did it on his own terms, and he broke that horse in the movie. And the story comes out later that his girlfriend, who wanted to see him ride that horse, she didn't get to see it, and she was upset. And the whole point was he wasn't going to ride it because they wanted him to do it so they could make fun of him. He was going to do it on his own terms so he could conquer that horse. And she was all upset and angry, and the story goes on. They end up splitting up. I won't tell you the rest of it. But anyway, they show him getting bucked off that horse over and over and over again. He'd ride it for a few steps, and that thing would just launch him up in the air. He'd get back off, dust himself off, get back on that horse again. And he rode it until finally, after this long battle takes place, at the very end, he's prancing around the stable. He's riding it. And the Mexican man that had been there watching him the whole time, quincing every time he hit the ground, he was smiling when he saw that take place. He won the battle. Our Lord Jesus Christ would ride a colt that had never been ridden on, and there wasn't one buck. There wasn't one misstep. There wasn't one reach back and try to nip at the Lord Jesus' leg. That animal was submitted to the authority of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords as he went through that gate. There are pictures, folks, in the Bible of the greatness of our Lord. Though he was 100% man, he was also 100% God. And the pictures that are given to us show us a Lord who is powerful. I want us to look very quickly at verses 4 and 5, and then we're going to finish up for today. "And this was done," verse 4, "that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass." Did you see that? What is our Lord called here? A king. What color is the colt? We don't know for sure what color the colt is. But that colt is a representation of an animal submitted to the king to ride into that city. He would ride in as king, but he would not be recognized as king. And he would be crucified at the end of that week. You know, it's interesting how people change, how their attitudes change so quickly. What were they doing when Jesus first rode into the city? Oh, they were cheering and rejoicing. We see the presentation, the prophecy is given here of that second point there, the prophecy in verses 4 and 5, where we're told in verse 4, the prophet saith, "Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. Thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass." And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. What a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ presenting Himself to the people of Israel. And they're crying out, "Hosanna! He's the Son of David! Hosanna!" Their cries are going to disturb the religious leaders to the point where they're upset, they're displeased by that. But our Lord presented Himself as king. And the point is this, He was not accepted as king. When He went to the temple instead of the palace, that was it. That was it. the rulers, the people, the Romans, the Gentiles, they washed their hands of him because he didn't do what they wanted him to do. You know, people are always wanting God to do what God doesn't want to do. God is going to do what's perfect and what's right. Humans want God to always relieve their pain. Humans want God to stop hurricanes. I read an article, I was reading on my smartphone on Sunday when we were flying, about some of the responses to the hurricanes and some of the responses of people. Why is God allowing this to happen? Two within a month. Two hurricanes hitting down. Why is God allowing this to happen? Blaming God for the hurricanes that were coming. Listen, we live in a sin-cursed world. Who sinned? Did God sin? No. But when you live in a world that doesn't believe in sin, doesn't believe in lawlessness, doesn't believe in that, that's just normal, that's just the way we live in this world, you start blaming God for everything. You got to blame somebody. You might as well blame God. If there's a God, why do you allow this to happen? Listen, hurricanes and all of these things, volcanoes, I was texting back and forth with Miranda Rose. They had an earthquake Thursday, I believe it was. And I was texting her to see how she was doing, if everything was all right. And they've had flooding. They have had a tsunami hit. They have had the earthquakes. And I asked her, I said, have y'all any volcanoes nearby that I need to pray about? Because I said, Peru has been getting hit and hammered with all kinds of things. And she said, no volcanoes nearby. We're safe on that part. But she said, it's been a very rough year for us. Just tremor after tremor after tremor, causing fear. And there are people blaming God. No, it's God's fault for all this stuff. Listen, the curse came because of man's sin. And God sent His Son to deal with the curse. And one day He's going to sit upon the throne of David. And He's going to rule from Jerusalem. And the curse is going to be done away with. The Bible tells us that a child shall play at the hole of an asp, a dangerous snake, and not have to worry, because the curse will be lifted. The curse will be lifted. Every man shall be under his own shade tree, an olive tree, and the curse will be lifted. There won't be the curse of all kinds of insects and disease that attack plants and animals and all kinds of things. We'll be delivered from that. It'll be a glorious day when Jesus is on the throne. The king came, and the king was rejected. The prophecy was given, the presentation was made in verses 6 and 7, and the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. There's the presentation of our king. They took their outer jackets off, and they put it on top of the colt. And the people began to cut down palms and strew them out in front. And they began to cry out, Hosanna! In the highest, Hosanna! King, Hosanna, Son of David. But it was just words, wasn't it? It was just words. Because he went to the temple. They didn't want him to go to the temple. They wanted him to go to the palace. They wanted to overthrow the Roman prefect that was over that region, get him out of there, get the Romans out, put Jesus on the throne, and then Jesus could perform his miracles and eventually push all of Rome out. And Israel would be back in dominance again. But that wasn't God's plan for the first coming. That's God's plan for the second coming. His first coming has to deal with the curse of sin. I want to know this morning whether you've ever allowed God to deal with your sin. Now, He took care of it on the cross of Calvary. The blood's been shed. The work's been done. The righteousness is available. But you've got to come to the place where you realize you're a sinner. Have you accepted the culture that says there's no such thing as a sinner? Have you accepted the teachings of the culture that say, yes, there are people that do bad things like Hitler, and they go down the list of a Mussolini and a Lenin, and they'll name off all the Pol Pot and go down the list of all the evil people. Those were really evil, but yeah, we have those, but they're just messed up in the brain. They have a brain derailment there. But the average person has a spark of divinity within them, and all we have to do is fan the flames a little bit, and then we'll see them go on in evolutionary greatness. You see, that's what's being taught today. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says we're sinners. And that Jesus took point, and He came and He took care of your sin. The question of your sin was forever dealt with. But you must come to Him and receive His free gift of righteousness. Would you bow your heads? This morning we come to the place where our Savior is about to accomplish the work that He came here to do. To go to that cruel cross and to shed His blood. To be beaten beyond recognition. To have a crown pressed upon His brow. To be nailed to a cross. And to be planted in the ground to die. To shed His blood. Why? For your sin and my sin. And I'm so thankful that He's not dead today. For He is risen. You see, that was part of God's plan too. To forever deliver us from that threat of sin and death and hell. Are you here this morning and you've never dealt with a sin question in your life? You never know what'll happen. That young girl that was on a motorcycle was driving down Highway 90 this past week and did not know that her life was about to be snuffed out. And she impacted with an 18-wheeler. Story after story after story could come out from the news this past week of people who lost their lives that did not know that they would be dead. Don't tempt God. You need to settle the question this morning. You need to forever get it settled. He's already paid the price. You've got to receive His righteousness. If you're here this morning without the Savior, would you just slip out of your seat and come up here and kneel down here at the foot of the railing here and just cry out to God? Stepping out just shows that you're serious about it. That you're not going to hide. That you're going to deal with it up front. Our Savior took point. He dealt with your sin up front. He didn't delay. He didn't deny. He did what God the Father told Him to do. He went to the cross and He took care of your sin. Now you need to receive His righteousness. Accept what the Bible says about you, that you're a sinner, and receive Jesus Christ today before it's too late. Our Father in heaven, I pray that You would work. As this passage unfolds and brings our Savior to the place of the cross, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would be working in souls. I pray that Your Holy Spirit would bring about conviction this hour to draw souls unto Yourself. There may be some here that are just playing around the fringes. They've never trusted in Thee. They've never come to a place where they recognize their need of repentance. Oh Lord, I pray that they would take care of it before it's too late. We thank You, dear Father, for Your love to us. We thank You that You sent Your Son. We thank You that He died, was buried, and rose again. And we thank You that You saved lost sinners. And we pray that You would do that in our midst today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's close with a familiar hymn, number 301. Only trust Him, only trust Him now. Come to Christ without delay. Come to Him now, and He will save you now, this hymn says. I want us to sing that third verse. Jesus is the truth, the way that leads into rest. Believe in Him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Let's stand together with a meditative heart this morning and sing verse number 3, number 301.
Trust Him now. He will save.
Father, we thank you for the message we've heard this morning. We thank you that Christ took point and took charge in a battle that we had no hope of winning. It's the battle against our sin. And Father, we thank you that you were victorious through Christ, your Son, and that, Lord, he went and paid the price for our sin so that we could be, as this hymn says, fully blessed, so that we can believe in you and that we can know the righteousness of Christ put on our account to be restored to our Creator, to be reconciled to God. Thank you, Father, so much for this opportunity that you've given us as humans to partake of these spiritual blessings. And Lord, if there be one here today that is still fighting this battle, that is still allowing their pride to hinder them from coming to Christ, that you would break that heart this morning, Lord. And I pray that we would come to you without delay. The Father, work in our hearts, we pray. We thank you again for the message, for our time to be here this morning. In Christ's name, amen. Lord bless you.